And yes, this is Tell Me Your Story coming to you in black and white because we can't afford Technicolor. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and thank you for joining me. And you're going to say, what in the world was that all about? Well, it has to do with the subject of our program. I could have actually changed that, come to think of it, to something a little more strange, but I decided to leave it as is. We're going to the movies. We're going to sit in the dark for the next hour, and we're going to talk about movies that inspire, movies that encourage, movies that have a conscious, creative aspect to them. We're going to be talking with my guest of the he's written a book called Get the Picture, Conscious Creation Goes to the Movies. And Brent, and it's Marchant, correct?
That's correct.
And Brent Marchant is my guest, and we are here. We're going to talk about the different types of movies that are out there. Certainly, we know we can go down the list of the various types and categories, but we're going to focus on those that, I guess, really the best way to put this, Brent, is those that change people's lives.
Well, one would hope so.
Well, aside from maybe making them a little less, having a little less in their bank accounts, because ironically, I've heard this, that theater attendance is actually slowly declining, yet the cost of a ticket is going up.
Isn't that ironic?
I guess they're compensating for the declining audience. So eventually you and I will be paying $40 or $50 for a seat, and that's not including the popcorn.
When that happens, I'll wait for cable.
I will, yeah, or Netflix, or I've got a friend who has ways, but I won't go into that now. That's not very enlightening or inspirational. Now, you have been, when we talked, you were very clear as to how you described yourself. You're not a movie critic.
No. The way I look at the way a typical movie critic works is they're assessing essentially everything that comes out into the marketplace. They're sort of like a kind of consumer watchdog, I guess you could say, for the general public, taking a look at everything that comes out into the marketplace and then giving a yay or nay as far as whether they like it. The way I approach movies is I'm looking for films that specifically address themes related to metaphysics, spirituality, and in particular the philosophy of conscious creation, which is also known as the law of attraction. I'm looking for movies that contain these themes so that they can provide examples and inspiration to people that they can use to draw upon in their own lives.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so I would, in that sense, I'd like to think of myself more as a movie analyst than a movie critic.
I kind of like that. You go into your office and you have the film lay down on the couch and you go from there. There are some interesting movies. Now, you and I are familiar with a list called the Top 101 Inspirational Movies. However, yes. In your book, you are dealing with far fewer than that, but more, not so much the actual movie titles as much as the general concept. And so let's sort of get into that. Now, you've sort of defined conscious creation. And I'm going to go to the top of this particular 101 list. And obviously, most people who have seen this film probably would put it near the top, if not at the top. And that's It's a Wonderful Life. I mean, what better story is there than you're feeling blue, whether it's the holidays or any other time of the year. And it's like, you know, I shouldn't even be here. I wish I didn't even exist. I wish I wasn't going through this. You watch this movie and you realize, you start reflecting on your life, and you start realizing what an impact you actually have had on the lives of the people around you.
Oh, absolutely. And the thing is, it's one of the movies that's also in my book. And part of the reason why I included it is because the process of conscious creation really does involve a person becoming conscious and aware of what's going on in their life and the contributions they're making and how their life is unfolding the way it is. It's actually that becoming aware, much more aware than maybe they typically would be. And that's, you know, one of the things that's very typical of this movie. You have the main character, George Bailey, who in many ways is kind of sleepwalking his way through life in terms of seeing what he's actually doing. He's got these big grand dreams of all these things he wants to do, but he's not seeing what he's actually doing.
Yeah.
And he's not seeing the impact of it until, far along in the film when he becomes much more quote-unquote, conscious of the process that he's going through and when he's able to consequently contribute to the world around him.
I found it fascinating as I went through both your list and his and this other list, how many of these movies I've actually seen. It's like, are you really? I've seen this many of them. It's like, wow.
Well, there's a lot of classics on this list. I mean,
yes.
You know, there are movies that are, in many ways, you know, kind of the essential moviegoer's viewing list.
Well, I'm just kind of flipping through here, and I'm going to kind of go into the middle of this list. Let's see here. Okay, start here with 49 on this particular. Of course, Apollo 13. There's Rain Man. Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, a classic. Aaron
right.
Brockovich.
And another Frank Capra movie, just like It's a Wonderful Life.
Now
he was a wonderful director being able to draw upon those themes in the works that he created. I don't know that he ever heard of the term conscious creation or law of attraction, but he certainly managed to incorporate a lot of those ideas into the works that he created.
Okay, and obviously then we would have to start getting into the minds of the producers, the directors, the screenwriters, all of those people at the front end of a film before it's ever made, to find out if they're sort of in that mindset, whether they use that terminology or not. And again, as you
exactly.
say, some of these movies go back, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and yet, wow, they make it into this list. Go ahead.
The whole conscious creation and law of attraction ideas, they're nothing really new. It's just that they've become more aware in the public's mind, I would say, over the past 20 to 30 years. And certainly as it filters throughout the population in general, of course, it's going to make its way into Hollywood as well.
Yeah.
And you're going to see, I think, maybe some of the more younger filmmakers and producers drawing upon these ideas in terms of what movies they end up making and producing and releasing to the public.
Now, I find it interesting that you have in here Ben-Hur and the Ten Commandments. And
well, I don't. They do.
Well, they do. I beg your pardon. And then The Matrix. Now, The Matrix,
yes.
I can see just clear as a bell. Ten Commandments, I can see from sort of a morals story, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not exactly sure how Ben-Hur fits in there, and maybe it's because I'm not remembering. It's been a long time since I've seen it.
Well, probably from the standpoint of, overcoming a lot of the, things that entrap people and keep them down. A rising up and achieving a heroic life kind of idea. The idea of facing fears and living heroically is important in conscious creation as well, basically because, if you never explore the thing that you want to do or you never take upon some of the ideas you want to try out, what have you got?
Mm-hmm.
It's a very important principle in terms of how you make the process work in your life. So that's probably, one of the reasons why they drew upon that for this particular list. Whether or not they actually used conscious creation as a basis for why they picked the movies in their list or not, I can't say. But
right.
Certainly a lot of the principles are very parallel to one
right.
another.
When we talked, I had mentioned to you that I had just seen the movie Phenomenon, which I think it's in this list somewhere. And I know that it probably falls into your list, if not actually in the book itself.
Oh, it's in the book, yes.
And I watched that movie with such a different perspective, and this was even before I had gotten a copy of your book. It's like, wow, this is just phenomenal. And of course, there's one statement that you referred to that that George makes in the movie, not George Bailey here. Now we're talking about Phenomenon. that he makes that is very profound.
Yes. And that's the statement where he says he thinks he represents the potential of what we can all be. Being someone who has tremendous abilities for rapid learning and telekinesis and psychic abilities, he's someone who embodies something that I think he believes, and I believe too,
mm-hmm.
that we can all be if we just believe that we can tap into those powers. It's not necessarily something that maybe will come as quickly as it did for him.
Right.
But, that doesn't mean that it won't come with time.
Yeah, lightning bolt strike is not the way to go. I can tell you right
yeah.
now, it's not the way to go. I want to get into a little bit more of that as far as belief and faith and the effects that these movies have on people. And again, I know you're not a scientist and there hasn't been a great deal of study and research on your part about these movies and its effect on the viewers. But I want to go back a little bit. And obviously you enjoy movies. just in a general sense. And so now you sort of codified it down into the conscious creative types of films. How did you get started in the movie viewing arena, especially as a professional, but also then how did you get started that next step with this whole conscious creation business?
Well, the movie-loving aspect is easy. I started going to the movies with my family as early as about age 3 or 4, so they've been part of my life right from the beginning. And I've always been absolutely mesmerized by the storytelling process taking place on the screen, just the ability to be whisked away to someplace new and different from your everyday routine. I just was captivated by that. So that's been a lifelong love. As far as the conscious creation aspect of it, I've always been someone who has been a student of alternative philosophy and metaphysics and spirituality, and had been spending a good portion of my life trying to figure out something that really worked for me, really spoke to me on a gut level, that I could use and draw upon to make my life, you know, more enjoyable and more fulfilling. And when I discovered conscious creation, that was it. And after I did, I went through a number of changes in my life where things, you know, really got significantly better from where they had been before that. And a lot of people said, well, how did you do that? And I said, well, I've been studying this practice known as conscious creation, and it's been a wonderful thing in my life. And I tried to explain it to them in terms of purely theoretical terms. And a lot of times I'd get, you know, sort of blank stares coming back at me going, uh-huh, or okay. So I thought to myself, well, if I'm going to share this with people, I think I really need to look for a way to make it more user-friendly. Mm. And then it dawned on me that, geez, you know, movies are the perfect vehicle for helping to explain ideas. They're basically the modern-day equivalent of storytelling. And, you know, this was, to me, a perfect vehicle for helping to bring forth the principles of conscious creation in a way that people could most readily relate to. So the marriage of the two just came together, and, you know, that was the book.
Now, you've listed, I'm not sure what the total number of movies in your book. It looks like there are 40 or 50 or more, maybe even 100 movies that you have listed in your book. And you don't actually, at least I wasn't able to find it, because it doesn't look as though there's a 1 to 100 list page. But
no. What? There's about 40 or 50. There's about 55 that receive what I call full treatment.
Right.
They get a thorough examination.
Yeah.
And then there's also about another 60 that receive what I call like an honorable mention status, or as I call them in this book, bonus features.
Now, is there a particular movie, or maybe a little broader question might be a particular director and his movies, not necessarily all of them, but his style, I mean, we've mentioned Capra, that moves and or touches you, that every time you see it, it just is like, wow, yeah, aha.
Not any one in particular, I would say. There's a growing body of people who are some of the younger directors, mm-hmm. who are beginning to bring some of this forth, and then you see some of the classics, those who've been around for quite some time, who do the same thing. I think a lot of it really depends more about the individual project that they worked on rather than necessarily their full body of work. I would say that probably the one that comes to mind, even though his work hasn't always been met with the greatest reception, is probably M. Night Shyamalan.
Mm.
You know, his movies almost always have a double meaning to them.
Yeah.
My particular favorite having been Signs, which a lot of critics didn't like and a lot of critics absolutely loved. And the critics who loved it were the ones who saw what he was really trying to get at. I think the ones who didn't like it were just sort of missing the boat with thinking it wasn't a very good alien movie.
Well, that was the one with Mel Gibson, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. I remember seeing that one as well. Well, now that actually helps me go into another area of this conversation that we talked about before. And that has to do with the previews, the commercials, the trailers, which is kind of funny why they call them trailers, because they, first of all, when you go to the theater, they show them at the beginning before the movie starts. And I'm sure that the name has stuck because they used to be put on at the end. But yes. Be that as it may, And M. Night Shyamalan is a great example. Now, I have seen a number of his films. Saw The Village, The Sign, The Awakening. What was it? The Lake House or Lady in the Lake? I'm trying to remember.
Lady in the Lake.
Lady
yeah.
in the Lake. And I think there was one other. But needless to say, we went to see The Awakening, which I thought was a great movie. And, of course, apparently M. Night likes to make cameo appearances in his own movies, which is kind of neat. And I'd seen the previews, but I was already aware of the direction that his films go and the message that it brings. When the movie was done and the credits were rolling, I heard from the back of the theater some young kid saying, "Is that it? Is that all there is?" Which I almost broke into song in that particular lyric. He'd missed it. It completely went over his head or under his feet, whatever the case might be. However, I take this position with this program and with anything that we see, hear, taste, smell, experience with our five or even six senses. Once you've experienced it, you can't unexperience it. So he's seen the movie, and somewhere along the way, someday, it's going to dawn on him. Oh, that's what M. Night was trying to say.
Yeah.
What about the trailers?
I've actually heard that same thing also expressed a lot about Darren Aronofsky, who is the director of Black Swan, which is out currently. And again, there's been a lot of people who, I won't give away the ending, but a lot of people who have seen it and gone, is that it?
Yeah.
Not fully realizing everything that he's getting at. But.
Yeah. But to my question, do you feel that this sort of maneuver or manipulation on the part of the movie houses intentional, or people just not getting it? I mean, I saw some of the M. Night Shyamalan promos before I went to see my first one in the theater. We saw The Village on TV, on cable. And I thought, I don't want to go see a horror movie. I am not into horror films.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't going to go see M. Night Shyamalan. But knowing The Village and its message, I said, forget the commercials. I'm going to go see this film. Is there some deception going on here?
There's been a lot of increasing levels of what I would call deception or misrepresentation among some of the trailers that are being put out, mainly because I think they're, with attendance dropping off, obviously they're looking to do anything they can do to get more people in the theater, even if that means, letting viewers think that the movie is something that it really isn't. One good example I can think of from this past year is there was a movie that came out called Greenberg, starring Ben Stiller. And when I saw the trailers from it, it made it look like it was another kind of typical, wacky, Ben Stiller comedy. It was anything but. I mean, there were some funny lines in it, but it was a fairly serious film all the way throughout. And I think anybody who had been going in expecting to see yet another Ben Stiller comedy would have been seriously disappointed by it.
So if I'm the type of person, and I'm sure that some of our listeners are, who wants to go see something that's going to be, not necessarily predictable, Contact wasn't by any means, from my perspective, when I first saw it the first time, but we want to go and we want to be a little bit more, we want to come out of there feeling good and not like we've just been taken through through the ringer. Is there a way for us to do that? To find out more about a movie before it comes out on the screen, and we're talking the big screen here, is there a source we can go to other than the commercials that we're seeing on TV?
There's certainly websites like IMDb.com, the Internet Movie Database, which has got tons of information about virtually everything that gets released before it comes out as well as after. So you can get more of a perspective than just relying on the previews or even the critics' reviews.
Mm-hmm.
I would encourage viewers to try and, broaden their horizons a little bit. I think part of the reason why things have become a little bit more predictable is that, viewers, they want to go in feeling as though with the cost these days that they're going to get their money's worth. And because of that, I think the studios, in some cases, are playing things a little bit safer. They're going with tried and true concepts. That's why you see so many sequels. That's why you see so many properties that were, for example, maybe television shows at one time. They're now being made into movies. you know, the consumer is looking for the familiar. Mm-hmm. You want to see something a little rewarding, broaden your horizons a little bit.
Yeah.
Look at things that are appearing at the independent movie houses. Look at things that are playing at film festivals. You know, look at some of the foreign films. I mean, all of these things are just ways of helping to show you things that are a little bit outside of the ordinary. And I think you'll be very pleasantly surprised if you do.
I was looking at some of these other titles here. Now, I've seen The Green Mile, and I just was blown away. And I was glad to see that the lead, and I didn't necessarily consider Tom Hanks to be the lead. However, I know that's probably the way it shows up on the credits. When I'm talking about the big black man that played the
guy.
Oh,
Michael Clark Duncan.
Michael Clark, thank you. Michael Clark. Mm-hmm. Oh, not only did I like the character, I was blown away as a sound engineer by his voice.
Yes.
I just like anything he does, I will listen to. You know, read me bad reviews or the phone book. I will listen to you, Michael. Okay. Fabulous. But the story was also very incredible. I've seen Mr. Holland's opus. I'm going to tell you that as inspiring as it might be, and I had a problem with the series on HBO called Pacific, I will not see Saving Private Ryan. I do not want to watch people getting blown away. That to me is not uplifting. That's where I'm going to walk out of the film saying, I need a shower. Those kinds of movies. Bleh. But you know, I know that it's in this particular list. Now, Star Wars actually still has the same kind of killing, but you don't see it. It's much more sanitized in a greater way. And I'm wondering about that. And then we even go to The Wizard of Oz. Which has its, I understand that there, I saw a piece of video that was supposedly taken out of the movie, and it was more the spinning of the house and some of the other things that happened. But even this story, which I've seen a number of times, has its sort of dark side as well with the Wicked Witch of the East in particular and her,
oh, sure,
her henchmen. I mean, even though it seemed like it was a kid's movie or a movie made for kids, for the most part, this was a pretty adult film. But then, of course, the underlying message that came clear was, whatever you want, you can have it. You don't necessarily have to click your heels, but that was the metaphor that was used.
Yeah, and I like the movie mainly because in many ways it helped to use symbols to address some of the conscious creation principles that you can use to make the process work in your life.
Yeah.
For example, you have the scarecrow who's in search of a brain.
Mm.
Well, one of the key components of using conscious creation is learning how to draw upon the power of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Tin Man who's in the search of a heart. One of the other components is learning how to draw upon your feelings and your intuition. And a heart is a perfect symbol for that as well. So, you know, and then you have the Cowardly Lion who is looking for courage. As I mentioned earlier, you know, learning how to live your life, you know, free of fear and heroically is an important part of making the process work as well. So Dorothy is drawing to her all of these different characters who embody different parts of the process.
Yeah. And
she's, and by way of interacting with these characters, she's learning how to make it work in her own life as she finds out.
Exactly. Yeah, that's actually where I was going to go. Well, Brent, we're going to take a short break here, and we're going to continue on in our conversation here. Get the picture. Conscious Creation goes to the movies, and my guest is Brent Marchant, and we're here talking about maybe your favorite movies that you've seen. And when we come back, I want to talk about, if we can, because you've alluded to it a bit, you've elucidated on it, the difference between the major movie houses versus the independents. But I want to get more into that as we talk more about Conscious Creation here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan. Stay tuned.
The Chari Center of Health with Deepak and Ropa Chari bring you this January health tip.
Here's today's Chari Center of Health powerful quick tip for natural weight loss. Water lowers the amount of fat stored in your body. Drink water to lose weight. Try to drink a minimum of 8 8-ounce glasses of water a day. Water is the safest and most effective weight loss supplement on the market today. Being even 1% dehydrated can cause a significant drop in metabolism, which can also interfere with weight loss. Here's how. If you drink enough water, your kidneys will do their job of excreting toxic waste products from your body, and your liver can focus 100% on burning stored fat for energy. So the more water you drink, the less fat you'll store in your body, and the less water you drink, the more fat you'll store in your body. So drink at least 8 8-ounce glasses of water a day. Other benefits in addition to a better metabolism include great complexion and better muscle tone. Here's another secret. Water prevents you from overeating. Water creates that feeling of fullness and helps to suppress your appetite. Just drinking one glass of water 30 minutes before a meal is a good way to keep you from overeating at a particular meal and enhances your digestion. Preventing overeating, which is one of the main causes of weight gain, will not only help you maintain your current body weight, but will also help you to lose weight.
And water has zero calories. If you substitute all your sodas, coffee, teas, and beer for a glass of water, you could lose a good amount of weight. If you were to replace two bottles of soda with two bottles of water every day, you would be cutting 500 calories from your daily diet and potentially lose a pound a week. So be sure to drink at least 64 ounces of water throughout the day for the benefits of weight loss, to prevent overeating, and to increase your metabolism.
Take your health to the next level for the new year. Go to charicenter.com. That's charicenter.com. Or call 805-963-1111. That's 805-963-1111.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we're now going to speak with our AAA editor, our Beth McDonald. How are you doing this afternoon? Are you staying dry, lass?
Well, up until the point where I went outside to take pictures of the snow on the mountains. I don't know if you've seen it.
I've heard reports, and I will share this with our listeners. I received a phone call about an hour ago from my wife, who is at home up on the hill.
Oh, yeah.
And she says, it's snowing. And I said, what am I doing down here?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I have my show to do. and she says it's not sticking to the ground yet. Although, as the temperature cools and it continues to drop moisture from the clouds, yeah, I'm sure that it will start to collect.
It's gorgeous. It's
just gorgeous. I can hardly wait to get up there.
Tell her to take lots of pictures.
I've told her. I says, yeah, get your brand new camera you paid FX number of hundreds of dollars for, and yeah, start taking those pictures.
Get the camera, baby.
So. Yeah. We are talking, of course, here with Brent about the movies and so forth. And a lot of us, we love certain directors or we love certain types of movies, as I said before. I'm sure that Saving Private Ryan is a great movie. I know that it won an Oscar or two or something like that. And some people really love it. I won't watch it because I don't like seeing that kind of stuff. I had difficulty handling the series Pacific on HBO. The miniseries about World War II, and it didn't focus on one character. It focused on all of these different people whose lives were changed by being drafted or enlisting and being shipped off to who knows where, and they have no clue as to whether they're coming back alive or not and or what they're going to experience. And you want to talk about a change in lifestyle almost literally overnight. And that's really kind of what we're here today to talk about, because we're still in that change mode, aren't we?
We are, but we're kind of tipping over into actualization. And so, you know, this is a perfect time to be having these conversations. And honestly, these are two of my favorite topics, movies and conscious creation. But what's fascinating and wonderful, I think, for me is that the sun has moved into Pisces, where it is joining the asteroid Chiron and the planet Uranus. So there's three planetary bodies right now in Pisces. Two more will come in Monday and Tuesday. Mars on Tuesday and Mercury on Monday. Mm-hmm. And so that's an awful lot of energy in one sign. Now, Pisces is the last and final sign in many of the zodiacs. Not all, mm-hmm, but many. And Pisces, therefore, is the ultimate culmination. It's the manifestation of all the work and all the things that have come before. And so technically, when there's all this energy in Pisces, it is much easier to manifest, mm-hmm, if you can focus. And if you're integrated, if the different parts of your psyche and your soul and your unconscious are all working together, the tricky part with the conscious creation stuff is that sometimes your unconscious is stronger and working harder than your conscious. Conscious mind. And so what I see a lot this time of year is people who are doing all the right things but are having trouble manifesting, and that's a sign that not all of you is on the boat. And it's a time to delve into the unconscious, which interestingly Pisces always also rules, and so it's a great time for anything that takes you deeper.
Okay. Well, keep that in mind if that's what you're trying to do. Get focused.
Yeah.
I have to say that as you were saying that, I started to feel this sort of welling up of excited anticipation.
Exactly.
And I'm going, okay, I know what I've been saying and I know what I've been doing. Now let's bring it home.
Let's rock and roll. Yeah. So again,
very exciting.
There's only one planet retrograde right now, which is Saturn, which means there's an unprecedented amount of opportunities. If you can stay focused and summon the resolve to go there.
All right. Well, you know, Saturn with those rings, it's an oddball planet, but what are you going to do?
But he's your friend. He's ultimately trying to help you.
I have one quick question before we go, and I need a quick answer. The meteor or comet Chiron, and I just want to... Asteroid. All I want to know is, which direction is it headed?
It's moving further into Pisces, which is actually a good place for us, for anybody. It makes us more intuitive and more in tune with the spirit world and whoever you perceive God to be, the forces of the universe.
For those who don't know where Pisces is it heading towards or away from Earth?
Oh, Pisces is a constellation. It's what they call a fixed star. The universe is expanding, so technically it's going out.
Okay. All right, Beth. BethMcDonaldConsulting.com is the website, and we will talk to you again next week.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Keep up
the good work.
And we'll be back.
I'm David Jay in the AM 1290 News Center. A winter storm warning has been issued for San Marcos Pass and Santa Barbara County Mountains and Wilderness areas. We have a flash flood watch in effect for our recent burn areas through late tonight. A powerful winter storm will bring heavy snow and strong winds to the mountains of Santa Barbara through tonight. We can expect numerous showers and a chance of thunderstorms through tonight as well. The combination of snow and blowing snow will cause near zero visibility at times in the mountains, and conditions will be dangerous for anyone traveling or hiking in the mountains. Keep it here at AM 1290 for the latest weather conditions.
Better Life Organic Produce is your organic fruit and vegetable supplier for Southern California. Only the finest, the best, and always certified, Better Life Organic Produce is a leader in making certain that you, the buyer, are satisfied with the best there is. Better Life Organic Produce is ready to serve you at the Los Angeles Fruit and Vegetable Wholesale Market, the largest wholesale produce distribution center on the West Coast. Better Life Organic Produce, your organic fruit and vegetable supplier for Southern California.
Remember the stories your family used to tell?
Till I got married, 1913, when my father and my uncle came from Italy.
When was the last time you listened to the songs of your youth?
Very swinging sound here in the Bilhart Underground. That's Wild Things.
Want to hear those voices and music again? Fast Forward can help. Fast Forward Audio Communications can transfer your records and tapes to CD so you can hear them again for the first time.
Okay, stand by. I may want to get you a man's load right now for the go, no go. Stand by.
You're listening to a live transmission of the voice of astronaut Walter Chirac.
Those memories are priceless and are great to hand down to the next generation. Keep those memories alive. Call 805-708-9804.
That's the first thing that I ever heard.
Fast Forward. It's the right direction for preserving your family memories. Just call 805-708-9804.
Understand the message in the movie. If you are having difficulty, just take a breath and consider the possibilities and just, you know, get a copy of the script if need be or the book that it was based upon. There are lots of different ways to find the hidden meanings. Now, I want to talk about, Brent, and by the way, before I forget, and I should have started the segment off by saying my guest is Brent Marchant, he's the author of Get the Picture, and it is available at your... Now, I was having a little difficulty with websites. So what website should people go to?
Probably the quickest and easiest way to find it is to go to a place like Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Okay.
And they can find it right there.
Okay.
With Amazon.com, it's available in Kindle format as well.
Oh, yes. Okay. I was ending the last segment that you and I were talking with wanting to do sort of a comparison of the major movie houses versus the independent filmmakers, of which it seems as though there are more and more and more of them, and it's almost as if the major movie houses don't have the lock on the screening room anymore.
No, and I think the big part of the reason for that is that really a lot of the innovation that's coming out these days is coming through the independent production houses. The studios are staying with, like I said before, they're staying with their tried and true properties, sequels and things that are based on well-known media like television shows, comedies that are kind of mindless, movies with big special effects, extravaganza budgets, and so forth. They're playing it very safe in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
To a certain extent, given the cost of what it takes to make and market a movie these days, that's understandable. But it's really been stifling a lot of the creativity, and that's where the independents have come along to kind of step up to the plate. They're having to work on much, much tighter budgets when they make their movies. That's become more difficult in recent years with the way the economy has been. But, because they're innovators, they're still drawing a lot of times big-name stars who are willing to do the work, for less money, simply because they want to work in something of real originality and real quality and real creativity. They may end up going and doing a studio movie to, make their money for the year, but then they want to go and they'll do an independent film simply because they want to have the opportunity of working with a particularly innovative director or because they've read a script that they like and they really want to do that. And, more power to them because, like I say, that's really where a lot of the innovation is coming from these days.
Is the process of coming up with a story really that difficult? I'd heard it said many years ago, and I don't know if this applied to both movie and television, but that there were really only, and this is, in a general sense, there are really only 51 storylines or scenarios, if you will. And again, that's in a general sense.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still true?
Personally, I would disagree with that.
Okay. certainly with the plethora, I've got 101 movie listings here, and
yeah.
there are 100,000 movies that are in the can somewhere going back to when films first started.
Yeah. I mean, there may be 51 genres, where the storylines could fit into,
mm-hmm.
but you're always going to have differences from one story to the next based on time, place, character, setting, all of that sort of thing. And, they always say that the best writing that you can do is based on your own experience. So if you have individual screenwriters who are, basing all of their stories on their own individual experiences, well, then, the number of stories is potentially limitless.
Now, what
but
about...
Even if they're not going with that as the basis for how they come up with their particular story, I don't think it's so much always the problem of coming up with the story. It's really more coming up with the pitch.
Okay.
to be able to sell them on, to sell a producer or a studio on why they should make this particular movie, simply because it may be perceived as being too out there or maybe perceived as being somehow derivative of something else. Or,
right. Now, that's interesting. I'm going to guess, you correct me if I'm wrong, if I've got an idea for a movie, I've got the screenplay written, and I want to pitch it to the studio, whether it be independent or otherwise, I have to tell the truth. I have to tell them what this movie is about. But once the movie's made and then it goes out for distribution, apparently the production studios don't have to tell the public the truth about the movie in the promos.
Well, one of the things that you need to do when you're making your pitch is you have to use the right words,
mm-hmm.
Particularly when you're dealing with the big studios. If it's something, for example, that is dealing with some kind of traumatic emotional issue, of some kind,
mm-hmm.
where a character has to overcome some type of tremendous obstacle to get to where they want to go to. You want to say that it's a movie with heart.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. And that will get their ears. I mean, they've sort of tuned into a limited, as the studios have become a bit more limited in terms of their outlook on things, they've also become a bit more limited in terms of what words they tune into,
yeah.
when they're being pitched. So.
Well, that brings to mind a movie that I saw not too, well, actually it was about 12, 13 years ago. And it was a movie that as I'm watching this, I'm going, how did they get a hold of my story? I mean, up to a point, it was sort of my story. At least I kind of felt like it, okay? The movie is entitled, oh, come on now. I just had it on the tip of my tongue. I believe it's Out of Sight. And it was a movie about a man who was born blind, totally blind. Now, I was born legally blind. And he was able to function with a cane and so forth and was able to get around. But then along came this procedure that they said could give him back his sight, almost 100% to 20/20 vision. And he took the leap, he took the risk, and he got his sight. The downside was that they weren't sure if it would last. And of course, it didn't. And it began to deteriorate. So in a certain part of the movie, he began going to the library and just getting all the picture books he could to cram as many images into his mind and into his memory as he could before his sight went, which it did. But one of the most extraordinary scenes, he was in the hospital following the procedure. Now, you and I know what things look like. We can see them. He, at this point, did not. And one of the first things that he saw was a Coke can, but he didn't know what it was because he had no points of reference.
Mm-hmm.
He knew what it felt like, but the feeling of it did not translate into what he was seeing on the table across from him. And I thought that was really a very extraordinary example of perception and reality based upon our senses. And this kind of goes into what we're talking about with these different movies. They create a certain type of perception that we then, they, you know, might take into our own individual realities to then create the things that we want to create.
And the question is it telling you the whole story either?
Yes.
I actually have a chapter in the book titled Perception is Everything, Isn't It?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Simply because... oftentimes what you are perceiving with your outer senses is not telling you the whole story. It's telling you part of the story, but it's not telling you the whole story. And that's why conscious creation is a process that requires you to not only use your intellect and your outer senses, but also your intuition. You know, going with your gut, going with what you're feeling. Because a lot of times the information that's contained in that is just as beneficial or useful as what you're going to be getting with your mind or with your senses. Unfortunately, we have allowed ourselves to become so tuned out to using it because it oftentimes doesn't seem to make logical sense.
Mm.
You know, we'll look at it and say, oh, that's interesting, but it's nonsense. It's the same idea as what comes up, for example, with what we get out of our dreams. If someone has a particularly prophetic or interesting dream, and a lot of times if they go to explain it to somebody else, they'll say, it's just a dream. Don't pay attention to it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when you get out of that process, you've effectively gotten rid of two of your very important tools for how to make, you know, conscious creation and consequently your life and beliefs work more to your advantage.
I know that's a statement I've used quite often. Perception is reality in so many instances. And when when I would hear people talking about their experiences, let's say they have acknowledged that they were abducted, they had experiences with aliens, and then even when working in the Christian radio station for 15 years and hearing the various stories about these different miracles, I took the position that it's true. What they're saying is true because I can't devalue their experience.
Absolutely.
I don't know if it'll happen to me, but if they said that it happened to them, who am I to argue? And besides, even if I did, what good would it do? They had the experience. And that's what I always found so frustrating was when somebody else would come along and say, well, but no, it says in this book that that stuff doesn't happen. And so basically what they're doing is they're nullifying that person's experience.
Absolutely.
Like, you can't do that.
I agree with you completely.
You can't do
that. And that's actually, that's one of the problems that's come from letting traditional science dominate things too much. Because unless things can be broken down into very neat little identifiable categories that follow a set of prescribed rules, anything that occurs outside of that is, well, it's sort of like what, the Pope said to Galileo, who wants to be bothered with inconvenient facts?
That's true.
It's sort of the reverse of that. It's like, who wants to be bothered with inconvenient experiences that don't fit the facts?
Exactly. It is. And that creates a great frustration for individuals because then they know that the world is not ready for their story, but yet they've got to tell somebody. But if they tell anybody, their life ostensibly comes to an end. It's no longer normal. And that's what's so sad.
Well, and it's really important to understand that particular concept from that viewpoint because it has implications that go, often tremendous directions. I mean, consider the case of somebody who is looked upon as being mentally ill. They have a worldview that doesn't match everybody else's. It doesn't mean that their worldview is wrong. It just means it's not on the same page as the rest of us. If those who are caring for them have a better understanding of that, they might receive better treatment for what they're being, what they're going through.
I have stated on this program before that it intrigues me to want to know what an individual is experiencing who is unable to communicate in any way to the outside world using any part of their body. What are they experiencing? What is going on inside? Or even those who have transitioned, who have passed from this life into the next. I remember, for some reason, Michael Jackson comes to mind. And as soon as I heard about his death, which was sad, I'm going, I wonder what he's doing. I wonder what he's experiencing. What's going on with him now? Or when my paternal big brother passed away in 2003. It took me a few days to get there, but I kind of went through that same thing. And I even today, I'm wondering, what is he doing? Or what is his essence doing, And so far, I haven't seen a film yet that allows us to sort of look at that. I mean, the closest has been Ghost, but he's still with us. He's still on this plane. He hasn't left yet.
There have actually been quite a few movies, though, this past year that have dealt with the subject of death and dying.
Well, where in the heck have I been? Under a rock! films are those?
One that I can think of in particular came out, I believe, in October was Clint Eastwood's most latest movie, Hereafter.
Oh, my God. They keep telling me to go see that.
Yeah, it's good. It's quite good.
All right. Hereafter's on my list of go see.
Another one that's out right now is the Spanish-Mexican production called Beautiful with Javier Bardem.
Oh, yes.
Again, and he's nominated for an Oscar for the performance. He was really quite good in it. Again, it's dealing with the idea of, what's the next step?
Yeah.
What's the next page?
And those stories very much intrigue me. Even the experience that the character that Jodie Foster played in the movie Contact, that whole thing was just extraordinary. And what was so interesting, again, this kind of goes to your statement about, the standard scientific explanations of things. She was there, according to her reckoning, for hours. And yet they say, no, it was a split second. You just dropped like a rock and it was over.
And here she was a scientist also who was accustomed to typically using that line of thinking.
Yeah.
All of a sudden being put to her own experience and saying, prove it.
Yeah. Oops. And the reality was that there was evidence to prove that she had been gone for 8 hours because there was exposed film, if you will, or static on the digital recorder for 8 hours.
Yeah.
So even though they couldn't decipher it, it was running. Why would it be running for 8 hours if it was an instant? So, it's like these little things. It's like, okay, could we carry that particular aspect of the plot line to its logical conclusion and give her a break? Oh, no, we're not going to end it there. We're going to leave it for a sequel, maybe. I don't know. I think that on the one hand, I love going to the movies as much as the next person. But then, and then maybe this goes to what we've kind of talked about a little bit throughout this program. If they were to make a reality show out of my life, I wouldn't watch. From my perspective, my life, though certain aspects of it to some people are kind of neat and exciting and fun, and I love what I do, and it's fun to work with the various people that I work with. I don't know that it warrants that kind of observation. So that brings me to the whole business of watching these movies. In some of the movies, now if it's not a science fiction or a Western, things like that, and it's a story about someone's life, unless the movies jazz it up, unless the studios jazz it up a little bit, would you really want to watch a camera following you around in your life? I mean, really?
No, I certainly wouldn't.
Probably for other reasons too, but nonetheless, it's just one of those things that I just sit here and going, okay, Big Brother and Survivor and all of these others, you know, that's all fine, well, and good, but I'm sorry. It's not that I'm shy or that I wouldn't want to do it. I see no earthly reason to do it because, you know, it doesn't have that kind of pizzazz. Me going down to feed the chickens in the mornings, that's not going to increase my ratings. I'm sorry. I don't think, you know.
And I don't think somebody following me around writing books is going to help.
Yeah.
You know,
but by the same token, the work that you do and this book, Get the Picture, is going to make an impact. So you have, and I have in many ways, we both have left a legacy of something that we hope will be of interest and will be of a profound nature to someone.
And fun. I mean, that was a big part of the reason why I did the book, too, is the fact that I wanted to get these ideas across in a way that was fun.
I'm going to ask you real quick, in the last 90 seconds, why this, why now?
Well, I think right now, you know, people are searching for answers. They're realizing that the systems and the paradigm they've been working with is not working anymore. They need to go to something new. And they don't really have anybody there as a safety net to, you know, step in for them. So they've got to do it themselves. And to be able to do that, they need some direction. So I always say, with regard to this book and with regard to the whole process of using conscious creation in the movies, draw upon the inspiration of the movies to write the script of your own life.
Cool. And the two movies that I'm going to go see are Clint Eastwood's Hereafter.
Hereafter.
And Beautiful.
Beautiful.
That has English subtitles.
With English subtitles.
I'll have to get the DVD with the English translation. It'll be easier for me to watch. Brent Marchant, thank you so much. I have to say that I meet so many great friends on this program, and I consider you among that list. This has just been a great joy having you on the program.
I've really enjoyed it. Thank you for having me on the show, Richard.
And if you put together another continuation of movies that come out, maybe every year we'll go over the films and see what fits into the category.
That sounds great to me.
Great. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true every Saturday, 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time, streaming live at richarddugan.com. Till next week, love to all.